Everyone, this podcast is brought to you by Global Shop Solutions ERP software. Simplify your manufacturing by scheduling a demo at globalshopsolutions.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast, the podcast with the highest ceiling. I'm your host, Bryce Hendricks, joined as always by the great Stone Hansen. And the next in our series of guests here to talk about the Miami Heat, the great Wes Goldberg. Wes is the host of the Locked On Heat. He is the fifth Locked On host we've got to guest on these pods. So obviously friends of the program over there at Locked On. And he's also a writer, and he does work for The Ringer, the Miami Herald. You can find his stuff all over. He's at WC Goldberg on Twitter. So all that stuff will be linked down below. But Wes, my friend, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're excited to have you on. The Heat had a eventful and very fun season. So I've been looking forward to talking about them. They were one of my favorite watches this year. But before we get too deep into it, Stone, my friend, how are you doing?
Doing well. Trying to get rid of this migraine I've had all day, but hopefully talking about the Heat will alleviate that.
We're in that stretch of draft season where it's like the end of the NBA season where there's ailments everywhere. My throat is like super scratchy right now from recording as much as we are, and powering through. We're almost there. 2 weeks left. Wes, speaking of kind of the Heat and just sort of how things went for them, obviously you'd be hard pressed to say it wasn't a successful season. Getting the one seed, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, taking the Celtics to seven games. But there's obviously, I mean, still that kind of final step it feels like we want them to hit, right? Jimmy Butler, I think, could be that guy on a team. The team was really well built, and they just fell out a little bit short. Wes, how would you kind of describe the Heat season, and what do you think the outlook going forward is?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to say that it wasn't a successful season. They earned the number one seed in an Eastern Conference where very few people picked them to be the number one seed. They didn't get to the NBA Finals, and that was their goal. And in that regard, it was a little bit of a disappointment considering how close they were. But when you zoom out and kind of look at what we learned about the Heat this season, we learned that Tyler Hero is a perennial Sixth Man of the Year candidate with an incredibly high ceiling after what was a sophomore slump for him. It's nice to know that he can bounce back and be a go-to scorer for them. Bam Adebayo is a perennial Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Like you said, Jimmy Butler is good enough to always give you a chance while he's playing this way. And then you kind of go down the line in the rest of the roster. Hey, Caleb Martin, he's a player. Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, these guys are players. So I think they learned quite a bit about their roster, and that's going to obviously help them going forward. But this is a team that is deep, that has versatility, and has a lot of options. But at the end of the day, has enough top-end talent where I think what we're looking at is just in and out every single season, a really competitive team. Probably not going to be the favorites in the East next year. Probably not going to be one of the best three favorites in the East next year, but they weren't one of the top three teams in the East going into last season either. So that doesn't really matter to them. What does matter is that they're always going to give themselves a chance. And I think that's what we're looking at here, because people forget, because it was such a deep postseason run for them, they got swept in the first round by the Milwaukee Bucks last year. So what I'm talking about being a contender to be in the conference finals every single season is a big step up from where we saw them last, which was, not winning a game at all in the playoffs. So, hard to say it was a disappointment, even though when you ask them, it definitely was. But this is where we're at now with the Heat.
Yeah, and I think, there's something to be said for being that perennial contender, even if you're never the favorite, right? Like, it's a good place to be in, because all it takes is a couple things to fall your way, and suddenly you're there, as we saw in 2020, where I really thought they were right there, I think, in 2020, and maybe a couple, injuries don't go the way they did, and they have another championship in Miami. So being right there, I think, goes a long way. And I think, the two guys that have got them there consistently, and then the new guy they've sort of added to this core last offseason, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry. I put those guys all into one tier, even if I think Jimmy and Bam are probably that step above Kyle right now in terms of the pecking order. But I think that's the core. Their money shows that. How the team is building around those three kind of show that. So, Wes, what do you think of that core trio? And what do you think a team built around those three should look like?
Well, like I said, I think Jimmy is that guy, right? And I was even skeptical to call Jimmy Butler that level A, level one star type of guy who can make you a contender. But, you know, we've seen it enough times now where you can't even doubt it at this point. Like, Jimmy Butler is good enough to always give you a chance. Bam Adebayo is a perennial Defensive Player of the Year candidate. You could argue at his peak powers, no worse than like the third best defender in the NBA. I would probably have him second behind Draymond, but it's hard to argue he's anything lower than that. And then for Lowry, yeah, it was a little bit of a disappointing season, but he was dealing with some things off the court, dealing with injuries on the court. You heard Pat Riley talking about in his end of season press conference, Kyle Lowry needing to get into world-class shape. I do believe that that's going to happen for him this summer with a full summer in Miami. I think he's going to come back next year even better. And as far as what you need around those guys, it's just shooting. You just need shooting. Between those three guys, that's a top 10 defense, just those three. Put the three of us back on the court with them, and we'll have a top 10 defense in the NBA. You just need shooting around those guys. And that's kind of what sort of submarine their postseason was, their shooters like Max Strus and even PJ Tucker for stretches, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson. Like, they weren't effective shooters from the perimeter in the playoffs, but overall, that's just sort of what you're looking for to put around those three.
Yeah, and I think Pat Riley would agree with you based on sort of the rest of this roster. There's one player I separated out from kind of the pack because I think he is a step above sort of the rest of that core, but still a step below that top three, and that's Tyler Hero. Hero is at an interesting spot. Like you mentioned, he kind of came from a sophomore slump into an awesome third season. I think there is some star upside there, right? Like, already, I think one of the craftier scorers and one of the best pull-up shooters in the NBA. Really funky guy. Just he has some he's extension eligible this offseason. So I think there's already been some murmurs about, oh, is he going to be traded and that type of stuff. But Wes, what do you think of Tyler Hero and his upside? And do you think his future is squarely with the Miami Heat?
Yeah, I love Hero's upside. I'm a big Tyler Hero guy. Yeah, there are limitations to his size, to his athleticism, but it's not like he can't dunk. You know, he's not like a total square athlete. So, and then the one thing that you can't teach, just like those traits, is basketball feel. You just can't teach basketball feel, and he has that. He has, you know, I did a feature on him for the Herald earlier this year, and I was talking to Udonis Haslem about him, and Haslem said he's the most skilled basketball player he's ever seen, which is saying a lot for Udonis Haslem to say that, because he's been around guys like LeBron and Dwayne Wade and several others, obviously. So, and it's hard to argue with him. Like, he's not as good as those guys, but you watch what he does on the court and what he's able to do with his dribble, how he's able to get into his shots and overcome those inherent weaknesses that he has, like the lack of athleticism and height and all these things. Like, his ability to get his shot off consistently, it just speaks to his high level of skill, and he really works at it. And I think the Heat have been really pleasantly surprised by how much work he's put into his game. He does need to fill out. He is only also 22 years old, very far from his athletic physical prime, and there's really no way to rush that. Like, you could be Tyler Hero. There was a lot made about, you know, he added 15 pounds of muscle last offseason. But by the end of the season, he had basically lost all 15 pounds, because that's just the nature of playing an NBA season, is you're going to lose weight during the season, not gain weight. So there's still ways to go there, but that's just going to take time. And that's really the central question for the Miami Heat. I think they're really high on Tyler Hero. I think Pat Riley is really, really high on Tyler Hero and his ceiling. The question is, can they wait for him to reach that ceiling? That's the central question, is if you want to wait, what does that mean for Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry and those other guys? Do you think that waiting is the best way to win a championship down the road, or prolong success and remain a perennial contender, if that's the priority, whatever it is? And so that's going to basically determine whether or not he stays with the Heat. And also, obviously, what else is out there? Like, if we were able to move Tyler Hero and get a star who is already elite and already can be that second scorer next to Jimmy Butler, then you'd at least have to think about it, right? And it depends on, obviously, what the total cost is. But, yeah, I think that the Heat are really high on Tyler Hero. They would like to keep Tyler Hero. He's a major fan favorite, which matters when we talk about the business of basketball. In terms of his future, I don't know. I think that they'll listen. I don't think he's untouchable. But I also think that they need to talk about his extension and all that kind of stuff too. It's very much up in the air right now.
Yeah, I think the tough thing with potentially trading Tyler Hero is just, you know, you mentioned like waiting on him, but he is already good right now. And it's, yeah. I don't see like a ton of avenues where you trade him and get back like so much better, like such a better current return that you're, that it's worth punting on his upside. I think the only one I've seen that even makes remote sense to me is Donovan Mitchell, but even that kind of feels like a long shot. And if it were to happen, I think that'd be a good trade. But a lot of the other stuff I've seen float around for Hero just doesn't feel like enough when you think of, you know, Bam Adebayo is still young too. Like it'd be nice if you could have this sort of current competing core that Tyler Hero is contributing to, but then also once Butler and Lowry do age out, you could step in and have that duo of Adebayo and Hero really be ready to take over. So I think I think I would be on the boat of keeping him if possible. I'm also very high on his upside. I was lower on him before the draft. And then when I heard the Heat were the team that drafted him, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to be a really good player. And it's kind of shown out to be such. That takes me to the
I'm with you, by the way. Yeah. I'm totally with you. And what you mentioned about Tyler and Bam's windows lining up is a key thing there. And it's not like you're right. Like Tyler Hero he's helping them. He won Sixth Man of the Year. You know, he's a much needed scorer for this team. He kind of creates that do-it-yourself offense that this team is really missing because it's such a ball movement heavy, off ball movement heavy team. But these ideas of just trading Tyler Hero for some star player, like every Heat fan on Twitter wants to throw that out there. It's like, okay, who's the star? Who's the guy? And there's an opportunity cost that comes with that. But also, like, the other team has to be really high on Tyler Hero, you know? And I don't, like I said, I think Pat Riley is really, really high on Tyler Hero. I think he values Tyler Hero quite a bit. And I don't know that there's another team in the NBA that is as high on Tyler Hero as the Miami Heat are because they've seen him in person so much, obviously. So I tend to be on your side of things where I'm like, you know what? I'd rather just keep things the way they are and find other ways and just bank on the internal improvement from Bam and Tyler to get you over the hump. But we also know that Pat Riley is one to swing for the fences when he has an opportunity.
Yeah. And I also think like I have some trust in Pat Riley at this point, right? Like it's hard not to it. And that takes me to sort of the roster they've built around Butler, Bam and Lowry. And I think that was a major strength for them throughout the season was just how deep they could be, how they found contributors. You know, they're not a team that brought in a ton of vet minimums and were banking on one or two of them providing some value. They targeted guys in free agency that they really thought would add value in PJ Tucker. And then Depot was a little different, but he was kind of in that mold. And then they kind of developed guys. Obviously, Duncan Robinson is sort of a famous story of undrafted, you know, D2 to undrafted to suddenly, you know, $90 million a year player, or not a year, but $90 million contract type player. And then you have Strus and Vincent who have sort of been on that same development path. Strus specifically also started at D2 and went to college. And then, you know, it's really kind of impressive stuff. So Wes, you don't have to go through any of these guys in particular, but PJ Tucker, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Victor Oladipo are sort of the guys I kind of identified as the secondary core around these guys. What do you think of that group? And what do you think could maybe be added that would really get this team over the hump?
Yeah, it's a strong group. I mean, between Duncan, Max, Gabe, like you've got three guys who can really get hot from 3-point range. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And with Vic, you know, he's a free agent, but they have his bird rights. I think they'll certainly explore bringing him back for sure if the price is right. But he provides obviously versatility on defense and that ability, like a little bit like Tyler and Jimmy, where he's able to break down a defense one-on-one and make things happen. And with PJ, he's just like, he's only played for the Heat for 1 year, but it feels like he's played for the Heat for 10 years already. It's crazy how well he's sort of meshed and been part of the culture, so to speak. But I would look at like another big man. I think it was pretty clear in the playoffs that they were one big man short. And specifically, I'd like to see if they are able to add a center who can play next to Bam Adebayo in bigger lineups. Because when you look at the East, if it's going to go through Milwaukee and Boston, those are two teams that could really, really upsize in a major way. And we saw not just when, Bam and PJ were on the court, but often that they had to go to just one of them because obviously both of them can't play the entire game. And sometimes, you know, a guy like Dwayne Dedman or even Omer Yurtseven, like they couldn't hang in the playoffs. And so they would just go with PJ at the five. And now they're really downsizing. And I like that look for them in certain matchups, but they don't really have the other way. They can't really go the other way and upsize and play bigger. Or even when Bam is off the court, like they didn't really have another center who could be, you know, who could spell Bam in those minutes that he's resting. So if I'm the Heat, I'm looking very strongly at adding another center, but a high level center. Like I think Dwayne Dedman gave him good minutes this year, but I would be looking to improve on that spot. Potentially with a guy who can maybe even stretch the floor a little bit and play next to Bam and allow Bam to play more of a power forward role in some lineups, because we know he's versatile enough to do it. So that's kind of where I'm looking.
Where would you consider moving like one of those three shooters in some sort of package to upgrade that center between like Duncan, Strus, and Gabe? Do you see any of them as expendable, or do you think that all of them are sort of like key pieces for the current Heat roster?
The Heat are still pretty high on Duncan Robinson. But that would be the guy to move. He's making like 19, 20 million next year. Max and Gabe just aren't making enough money to actually get you anything in a trade at this point. So, that's the name. It's Duncan Robinson. But the other thing too, with Oladipo is because I have his bird rights, I would, if I'm the Heat, seriously explore signing him to like one of those Contavious Caldwell Pope type deals where they're just paying him 15 million and nobody really knows why, because you need like, it's basically Duncan Robinson is the only sort of quote unquote tradable contract on this roster right now. And because you have Oladipo's bird rights, you could create a new salary slot on that roster as long as Mickey Arison is willing to get into the tax a little bit. And so I would really seriously explore signing Vic to a $10 or $15 million salary and convincing him to come back because of that. And then you have that option, maybe at the trade deadline or down the road somewhere where you're able to move him. But, It would be Duncan Robinson. That would be the guy. And I think the Heat will explore, you know, what can they get for Duncan Robinson and their first round pick. I think that's something that they're going to shop around this offseason.
Yeah. And I think there's probably guys out there that could fill that kind of stretch five hole. I mean, the one that obviously comes to mind and that I can't stop thinking about is Kelly Olynyk, because he's done it before. But there's other ones that I'm just kind of, my brain is not aligned currently to think of, but it doesn't even have to be like an elite shooter. I wouldn't think like there's some lineups you could throw out there where you can make two, because Bam could kind of stretch to the mid range. And if you're running bench units where Bam is more of like a high usage guy, you could get away with having a big who kind of sits in the dunker spot. And like there's stuff you can do and figure stuff out. But I'm with you that, you know, small ball, there was a time where that was the only way to win a championship. And it's kind of shifted now to where it's about having that versatility to play small and to be able to play bigger too. It's important to have both. And I think that's what we've seen the Celtics do and in different, but kind of similar ways the Warriors can do. And I think that's sort of, it's all about versatility in the modern NBA. So that's definitely the type of player I'd be looking to add. And that does take me to 27. And before we get into the potential guys here, and what the Heat might be looking for, Wes, what do you think the likelihood they keep 27 is, and what do you think if they were to move it they'd kind of be looking for?
Yeah, it's gonna sound like I'm hedging here, but I really think it's like 50-50 right now. And if they do move it, it'll probably be packaged with Duncan Robinson to get just another rotation player, probably another big body, or potentially, you know, another guard who's more of a two-way player, especially if they think Victor Oladipo is gonna walk and they're trying to replace that two-way capability. So I think that would probably be what they're looking for. But I don't think it'll be like to move up in the draft. I don't really see that as an option unless they are like absolutely falling in love with somebody, but I don't really get that sense.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it's a move up, because as we've talked about in this series a couple times, the draft just feels really flat after like 10 or 15. So it feels like that would be kind of a not like a waste, but you're right. It'd have to be like they really have to target someone, and it'd probably be the type of smaller trade up like to like 23 or something that we've seen kind of cost pennies on the dollar in the past. So something like that maybe, but I think just because we're a draft pod, we like to pretend they're going to make the pick. And if the Heat are going to pick at 27, Wes, what do you think kind of the most realistic options are there? Who do you think they might be targeting? And how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, so a few names that jump out are a couple of Arizona guys, Dalen Terry and Christian Coloco. And I mentioned them because, number one, we're talking about, all right, two-way capability. There you go, Dalen Terry. Another big man who could potentially play next to Bam because of his size, Christian Coloco. Like, those guys make sense. And I also just think that the way Arizona plays, switchy defense, ball movement heavy offense, I think all of that stuff, like if the Heat or when the Heat are scouting, I think they look at Arizona and like, okay, these guys could walk into Miami's program pretty quickly and figure it out. And then in regards to like Dalen Terry, I just think that he's obviously been one of the biggest winners of this pre-draft process, right? He's still obviously raw, but his activity defensively, his ability to get into passing lanes, to get into rebounding lanes, he's a willing ball mover. It may be sometimes a little bit too willing, which is like a perfect fit in the Heat. So, I would be looking at Dalen Terry pretty seriously. That I don't know if he'll even be there at 27. It sounds like a lot of people want him, you know, ahead of Miami. But if he's there, I think they'll strongly consider him. And then for Coloco, too, I think he's obviously another raw prospect. Some people have him more of a second rounder. But I really like his upside. He's a guy and he's only been playing basketball since what? He was like 15 years old or something. And so, and his size, he needs to obviously get stronger, but he's a vertical threat. I like his feet. The Heat are, they're a footwork team. Like, you look at the guys they've drafted in the past, Bam Adebayo, first thing they said about him was his footwork. Tyler Hero, one of the first things they said about him was his footwork. And you even go back to how they drafted Precious Achiuwa. Obviously they traded him in the Kyle Lowry sign and trade deal, but it kind of goes to show you that they're also looking for that kind of player. The fact that they drafted Precious when they did, even though they did ultimately trade him, I think that they're still looking for a player like that. So there's obviously other players too. Like if Walker Kessler from Auburn were to drop to 27, I think that they would look at him too. Guys like that. And then there was one other name that I'll throw out there, and that's Ryan Rollins, the guard from Toledo. You know, everything I just hear about this kid is like he's kind of cut from the Miami Heat cloth, hard worker, little underrated, but a lot of potential.
Yeah, and that's something I couldn't help but look for when I was thinking about guys at 27 was people who have that, you know, quote unquote Miami Heat in them, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, whether you want to call it dog or you know, I've heard people say that motherfucker in them, like however you want to put that. Like, that Miami Heat culture is a very real thing. And I think, you know, as it can get clowned on all at once, but I think it has been a big reason for them being so consistently winning. I think they get guys who buy into what Spo is going to say and what Riley has to say as two guys who have done it at the highest level. So those were guys I kind of looked at. Stone, I wanted to throw this to you too. Who are the kind of realistic guys you see here at 27?
Yeah, I'll have a few and I'll try to stay somewhat brief on them. But one guy that really stands out is Jalen Williams, the one from Arkansas. I think that as a big who can space the floor, not at a super high rate, but I think enough on it'll probably be low volume, but it's still a threat nonetheless. I think he really does fit too with the Heat, very high field guy who I think gives them an added defender in the paint and allows Bam to switch out a bit more, and also just a high field passer as well. So with him and Bam together, like that passing combo would be really interesting and fun, I think, for stretches. Another guy, my guy John Butler, I think is really interesting here. Definitely would need some time before he sees like real minutes for the Heat, but if there's any team that can really get a guy's body to develop and bulk up, I think it would be Miami. John Butler certainly needs it. But I think as a guy who can be a paint protector and really shoot as a catch and shoot guy, another really like interesting, basically 7 foot wing. And the third guy that I thought was interesting, and we bring him up pretty much all the time, is Jake LaRavia. I think that he would be a good asset for the Heat as probably the safest of the three, but a guy who can really do a lot of things at a really solid level, be a solid floor spacer, solid passer, really solid defender, even out on the perimeter at times. So I think that there's between those three guys are that would be like sort of the trio I'd be targeting if I was Miami at 27.
Yeah, just a couple guys for me. I was really, you know, Wes, you mentioned that sort of kind of five, like another five. And even if they're not going to play early, because as we've talked about, kind of playing center early in the NBA is really hard because it's just like the rotations are just so much different than what they are at any other level. I mean, even Bam Adebayo, who's one of the best defensive players in the league now, sat 2 years behind Hassan Whiteside and developed and got to the point where he is now. But I think someone like Jalen Williams from Arkansas, the big man Jalen Williams, I think would be an awesome fit here. Not huge for like a five, but I really like what he could do next to and as the backup for Adebayo with his passing, the DHO stuff. I think he could execute. And then the footwork on defense is solid, even if he's not a great rim protector. Someone that the Heat have actually worked out that I really like here would be Jabari Walker from Colorado. You know, you mentioned Arizona. Colorado is sort of like Arizona light in how they run their offense, more or less. You know, not quite as crisp and not as fast. Like that's what Arizona was really good at, was transition stuff. But Jabari Walker is kind of like a start at the four, finish the games at the five is kind of how I've described him. I really like that potential for him. I think he can switch a little bit. I think he's big and strong. He can shoot. I think he has moments as a driver and playmaker. I think he's just a really solid bet to kind of fill in the cracks for whatever team takes him. And then I'll second Christian Koloko because I think he'd be a great fit here. I'm super high on him. He, again, probably not going to play super early, but I really like the idea of him next to Adebayo. I think he can hit some spot up mid-rangers down the line. I think he can play in that dunker spot. I think he does a lot of interesting things. And also, just like Jalen Williams, already a very seasoned DHO operator. I mean, him and Mathurin, that just that dribble handoff was probably the deadliest play in college basketball this year. It worked all the time. They would run that DHO with then having a back cut from the corner from someone like Dalen Terry or whoever. And even with the bad spacing, Koloko can make it work. I love his ability to deliver those passes. That's just something, it's very, you know, you could see it, the Heat run that exact same action. So I love that fit there. They might be able to convince him to, you know, go undrafted and get him in UDFA. But if they feel like they have to take him at 27, I think that would be a great pick as well. I like the value there. Wes, who's kind of, and we kind of mixed the realistic and dream options at 27, but who would be like if you could have one guy at 27, who would be kind of your dream pick here?
I'm still kind of working through that. I don't really know. Like the idea of getting like a Kessler Walker kind of guy, who's sort of just like this ready-made, or Walker Kessler kind of, you kind of get the sense that he could just walk in and play right away. And for a team that is obviously got championship aspirations as soon as next season, is trying to make the most out of this Jimmy Butler championship window. Like if you could find a rookie who can contribute something immediately, which is asking a lot, but if you can find somebody at 27, that would be the dream scenario, but probably impossible because it's the 27th pick and those players just don't exist at 27. So, but I don't know. I don't really see somebody like sliding. Like, I know that Malachi Branham is a guard from Ohio State that I think checks a lot of boxes for the Heat, but it looks like at this point he's going to be like late lottery. And so I don't really see him sliding. You know, the Jalen Williams from Santa Clara is another high riser that a lot of people are high on. I don't have strong opinions on him right now. EJ Liddell, another forward from Ohio State, like he seems to be going higher up in that, you know, middle of the first round as opposed to the end of the first round. But I don't really know if I have like a quote unquote dream guy yet, because like, you know, Chet Holmgren's not falling, so whatever.
Yeah, no, and that's also kind of the thing with the Heat, is it's like kind of whoever they take you feel like is maybe a dream guy. I mean, I had my issues with that like Precious Achiuwa pick, right? And obviously, like it's been different, but like he already started to develop into like a real player this year with the Raptors by the end of the season. So it's like, I feel like no matter who they're targeting, it's hard not to just kind of trust the Heat to do their thing. If I had to pick one guy, Jalen Williams would be great. It might be Josh Minot, just because I want him to go to a system that's going to develop him. I think he needs a very specific context. And there is a bit of that. Is he just KZ Akpala worry? But he's a much better athlete than Akpala was, I think. And I think he could really work out if things go well. Again, maybe trying to attack that 4 or 5 next to Bam. Like, what can that player look like in the future as PJ Tucker gets older? You know, Max Strus isn't really a 4. So kind of addressing that in 2-3 years, if you were looking for someone who can play that role, I think Minot is a solid bet at that. Stone, do you kind of have a dream pick here?
I mean, it's Jalen Williams. I think that he it makes too much sense for me personally. And
which one?
the one I previously talked about, my bet, Arkansas guy. But I think he makes so much sense next to Bam. And I'm really high on him just overall. I think I probably will have him like close to late lottery. So to be able to get that value at 27 would be awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that takes me to Wes. I don't know how deep you are in this. Stone and I can always go all day, but I identified a couple guys that I really like in for the Heat, specifically in UDFA. Or if they decide to trade in the late second, it's hard to say. I doubt they do, because the Heat are sort of a destination, right? It's like the teams that can really convince guys to come there in UDFA. I think even last year with Marcus Garrett from Kansas, where it kind of felt like he was a valued UDFA and he chose Miami. And so I think they can kind of go after the guys they want. Stone, I'll throw this to you. Is there maybe one or two guys that you think will fall to UDFA that you really like?
One of them would be Vince Williams Jr., I think, for the Heat. Really interesting. I think that he would be probably a step down from the shooters that they already have, but I think can contribute in more ways if things break right for him. I think that he's a really solid defender, a pretty solid passer as well. So I think that he would really be a target for me, and he fits that sort of Heat culture, I think, that sort of fabric. The other guy would be Tevin Brown. I think that he, as a really strong shooter and also really strong defender, again, is sort of just another guy that can maybe make one of those others expendable that they currently have. Maybe we can fill in some of the Oladipo gaps as a defender if he were to walk. So I think that those two guys are probably the standouts if they were to fall to undrafted free agency.
Yeah, Wes, do you know, is there anyone that you kind of like in this range?
No, I don't know the draft well enough. I'll defer to you guys.
No,
all those names that you guys just said, and I'm going to look into them.
That's more than fair. I mean, it's especially, I mean, you covered a team that was, I mean, went on a long playoff run. So it's definitely, I mean, this is a full-time job. That's why we have guests on. It's because we don't know enough about the teams. Like, I did not watch enough Heat because I was too busy watching all these random dudes who will probably never play in the league. But that's all right. Someone they worked out that I really like is Donovan Williams from UNLV, former top 100 recruit, couldn't find a spot in Texas, went to UNLV, came off the bench, but was, in my opinion, their best player. I wish they would have went to him more instead of Bryce Hamilton. I think he's really, really funky. Like, just he's basically a big ball handler. That's kind of the sell. And I think he's a solid bet at that in UDFA. He's falling that far because he didn't put up great numbers, but I think if he would have been in a different program or given more latitude, he could have done that. And then I got to bring him up every time. Lester Quinones is someone I really like. I think like a sneaky issue with the Heat going forward might be like point of attack defense. Because like Kyle Lowry's kind of getting older, and obviously when they switch everything, that's not super important. But in the regular season, you don't want to switch everything all the time because it's just more difficult. And I think someone like Lester Quinones is like, his screen nav is really good. He's a good connector. He was in the wrong role with Memphis, but I'm really high on him. So that's kind of the guys I'll go with. There's obviously a million names. If they are looking for a Duncan Robinson replacement, Drake Jeffries from Wyoming is probably my favorite bet at that. Like, his movement shooting, it's all he does. He doesn't really, he has okay defense, but he's not great, especially on the ball. And he's can't really dribble, not a great passer, but man, he's already like super comfortable off complex movement. I mean, coming off like from one block all the way around to the other wing, only planting one foot, like already hitting shots like that. So if you're just looking to address one skill, get some depth there. I really like Jeffries as a potential depth version of, you know, Robinson, Strus, even Vincent to some extent. And then the last guy is Geo Baker, just because I love him. And he's also like, he's a Heat guy. He's like, I mean, hard-nosed defender. He played at Rutgers for 5 years. Only the toughest dudes play at Rutgers for 5 years, because like that, yeah, Rutgers plays the ugliest possible form of basketball, but it's kind of a Heat basket. It's kind of Heat basketball in that way. So I'd love him here. I don't know exactly what his upside is because he's old, but already a good defender, can get to the rim, can shoot. So there's at least something there. Wes, something we like to ask all our guests, sort of like a dream off-season outcome, draft outcome. You know, you don't have to pick one name at 27, but just in general, what are your hopes for the draft and this off-season as a whole for the Heat?
I just don't get too weird this off-season. There's been some scuttle about like Kyrie Irving and stuff. I'm just like, just don't get weird, guys. Like, don't make this weird. I really enjoyed covering the Heat last season, and I would like to continue to enjoy covering the team next season. So I think the dream outcome would be, all right, 27, you pick somebody, it pans out, somebody who can help a little bit right away, but obviously be part of that window going forward. The Heat have had really good drafts recently. You know, they've basically hit on everybody since Justice Winslow pretty much. Pick the player 27. That's a good player. Make some tweaks around the edges, get that third big, maybe get another two-way player. And that's sort of the dream. A very boring offseason would be my dream.
Yeah, no, and I completely get that, because I think this Heat team, if you ran a simulation of these playoffs, they win the championship like at least 20% of the time. So like, and that's something, like that says something. And yeah, it's not like there were major injuries this year that, you know, like opened the floodgates for them to have easy matchups or anything. They kind of just did the damn thing. So I'm a big fan of the Heat. I'm really excited to see what they do going forward. So I'm very grateful, Wes, that you came on to kind of give us all your knowledge. This was a blast. I'm a big fan of your work, follower of a lot of the Locked On pods, especially the Heat ones. So let the people know where they can find you. Everything will be linked down in the description, but it's people, they got to hear it from your mouth. So let the people know.
Twitter at WC Goldberg, links to everything there. And then follow the podcast anywhere you get podcasts, YouTube, Locked On Heat, and Locked On NBA on Fridays.
Yeah, this has been great. For Stone, at @report_report, I'm at @BryceHendrick14. Give us a like, rating, review, all that type of fun stuff on your podcasting app of choice. This has been the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. We hope we hit our ceiling. Thank you.
We once again like to thank our sponsors at GlobalShopSolution.com. Simplify your manufacturing and schedule a demo today at GlobalShopSolutions.com. Thank you.